Today's daf is daf kuf dalet. And we can take a look at the Mishnah here on the top of the Amud, about six lines down from the top. Bozkin melach al gabi kevesh b'shvil shelo yachliku. It means that we're allowed to break up salt. And the reason why we do this is because it gets wet and the kohanim have to climb up the ramp in order to perform what's called Haktar Seimurim, and the ramp is wet and they might slip and fall, and as a result we have to allow what normally would be usur outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that is Bozkin Melach. Now the reason why Bozkin Melach would be usur outside the Mikdash, which means Bezika Kisisa Verisuk, is, as Rashi points out, Mikse Kibone, and especially if you consider the fact that he's going to leave the salt there on a permanent basis and so forth, and so therefore it becomes part of the ground itself. It's Mikse Kibone. The Kevesh, by the way, is on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, and it has the length of 32 amos and the width of 16 amos. And it goes down on a slant from a higher point on the Mizbeach itself. The Mishnah continues, Umimala mibar agola umibar hagadol bagalgal. Here's another kula. We're allowed to fill up water, draw water from the Baragola. It's called the Baragola because it was dug by the Oliagola that came up from Golis Bavel, and it was located in the Lishkas Agola, and this is described by the Mefarshim, the Lishka Gadol, Lishkas Agola, which was called because of the bar. They gave it the name because of that bar. And what happens is, according to the Mishnah Midos, the Lishka Sagola was the source, a cistern that was set, and they had a galgal. They would roll up the water and draw up the water for the entire Azara. The water that was in the Baragola, was sweet water, it was drinkable water, and we'll see what the Chiddush is here in our Mishnah. Why would we think that this would be a Shvus Derabbanan that was only mutter in the base HaMikdash? Now, we said that Bar HaGola is the bar that was dug by the Oligola, and now we have the Bar Gadol that was in the Lishka Sazara. And Rabbi Yonasan adds here that based on Maseches Midos, this bar, which is called the Bar HaGadol, is not mentioned per se in the Mishnah. Bar Gola is mentioned, the Lishka Sagola, but Bar Gadol is not mentioned. And we have in front of us the source for this entity called the Bar HaGadol. And why did they need these two boros, two cisterns? The Bar Gola, he says, was the place from which we could supply all the needs for the Azara. And the Bar Gadol was Meshalshalin Umeshakim Esakir Balaila. This is where they put the water of the kir at night in order to guarantee that it wouldn't be posel bilina. And bagalgal, means with a wheel. In fancy English, it's called a windlass. And these were the wells, as we said, that were located in the chambers of the Azara, and these are permitted only in the Mikdash, and we'll see why in the Medina this would be this would be prohibited. Let's go on. In the Mishnah, the Shabbos, of course, mi be'er hakar, and we can draw water from a well which is called hakar or hakir. Here I have it as hakar. And this was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And why is it called hakar? He says, al shem makar lemayim chayim. There was a source for fresh water, natural water. And this we can only allow if it's Chutz L'Migdash on Yontif. And all the other Be'eros were Osur. You weren't allowed to use this Galgal on Shabbos and Yontif to draw the water. So these were the wells that were singled out to be Mutter. And the Gemara later on is going to explain why this bear, they were matir for Yontif, this bear akar, and not other bearos. What makes it different? And why only on Yontif and not on Shabbos? Keep in mind that the word be'er indicates mayim novim, you know, water that flows from a source, a natural source. Bar, on the other hand, is a man-made cistern, and it's used to collect water, of course. And the Bar Gadol are called Bar because the water was collected together. It wasn't flowing water like the case of the Be'er HaKar, which was, as we said before, Mayim Novim, water that flows from a natural source, a spring water. It's interesting that Rashi and Psochim says that we machshir main nisuch hamayim for the water of nisuch hamayim during the days of Sukkos, mayim ibar shebibar gadol. And it sounds like he's saying that even bar gadol had mayim chayim, not the way we interpret it, because in order to be kosher for nisuch hamayim, you had to have mayim chayim. We'll start the Gemara now. Rami le Rav Ika mi Parshonia le Rav. So we have a question here of Rav Ika to Rav Tanan. We have in our Mishnah, Bozkin Melech al Gabi Akevish Bishvil Shalo Yachliku is b'migdash in Vamedina lo. So this process of breaking up salt is prohibited outside the Beis HaMikdash. Uraminu, we have a stira because we have a brice that says Chotzushen is kalkala b'meime gishamim is maybe teven umeradaba, which means that if you have a courtyard of Chotzer and it was flooded with rainwater, you're allowed to bring straw and spread out the straw on the ground so that you'd be able to lay on the straw instead of on the wet ground. And the mashmos here of this brice is that it's mutter even b'medina. Here in our Mishnah we were medayik that only in Migdash it's mutter, not outside the Migdash. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is talking about melach and the brice is talking about tevin. And there's a basic difference between salt and straw. And how so? Because shiny teven delo mevatale, he has all the intentions to take it back later. Notice he's not abandoning it. It's not there permanently. It's only there on a temporary basis. And the reason for that is because even after it was stomped upon by the feet of the holchei regalim, it still is edible for an animal. It still can be used as animal fodder. Or, if you want to use it for tit, you want to use it for cement. So therefore, when he lays it out on the karka of the chotzer, it's not that he's being mashve gumos, he's not flattening the ground, which would be asura, that's mashve gumos melechas bona. And that's why, even in Medina, it was Mutter. That's the case of Tevin. But the case of Melach, it's non-functional after it's been stomped upon by Raglia HaHolch and those who walk. And therefore, if he's Mevatel it, then in Medina we have to prohibit it because it's Mashveh Gumos, it's Michzei Kibona. Only in Migdash, in the case of the Kevesh, we could be Matir to spread it out. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Ravel Rav Ashi Hai Melach. The melach that you were allowed to use to in the Migdash on the Kevesh is Hechidomi. What kind of melach are you talking about? Idemavatle, if he intends that the melach, the salt, should be there on the Kevesh for, you know, as long as you can think, is Kamosif Abinyan. This is a hosafa on a binyan. So the implication of our mission is clear, that in Medina it would be also to do this boski melech al gabei hakarka, and yet in Rimini we have a brisa that seems to contradict this. Chotzer shenis kalkala bimeag shomim, if your courtyard was over flooded by water, then mevi tevenu maradaba, you're allowed to take straw and you're allowed to scatter the straw on the ground. And that's apparently in Medina. There's no indication here that we're talking Dafkin Migdosh. So how do we reconcile our Mishnah with this Braisa? And the answer is, Shani Tevin Deloma Vatale. Tevin is something that you can collect afterwards and you can use it. For example, you could use it as animal fodder. You could use it as material for construction, evilly achash and nidras baragli aholchim sham. And therefore, we're not talking about any sort of permanent bittel where he's being mevatel it. And therefore, it's not considered mechse kibona. It's not at all similar to leches bona. Hence, it's mutter even in Medina. But melach, that's not usable after you place it down on the ground and it's subject to drisas ragli aholchim, it's bottled there. And therefore, in Medina, it's going to be prohibited to be shoteh because it's mashveh gumos, it looks like bona, it's being placed there on a permanent basis. Only in the Migdash can we be matir for the sake of the Kevesh. Omale Rav Acha Brei de Ravel Rav Ashi Hai Melach. The melach that was mutter in Migdash on the Kevesh, Hechidomi. If he intends to leave the salt there on a permanent basis, Kamosav Abinyan, he is now adding to the binyan. Now the kevesh is that much higher. And the pasuk says in Divrei Hayom, "Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem olai hiskil kol meleches atavnis," which means that everything that's written and specifies exactly how to build a temple, it was elucidated to me from the hand of Hashem. And what that means is that David is telling Shlomo HaMelech that all the specifications for the Migdash were submitted to him by the Nevi'im, and you're not allowed to add or subtract or detract from the edifice or any else, the Kelim, exactly as they were given by the Nevi'im for the Beis HaMikdash. And if that be the case, then what do you mean, delo kama vatle? If you're not doing it exactly as the Tavdas HaMikdash was transmitted from the Nevi'im, that's not allowed. Even on Chol it wouldn't be allowed. So that if you're being mevatle, then it doesn't seem logical that the Mishnah would prohibit it dafka on Shabbos in Medina. Even in Migdash, this should be prohibited. And he adds here in the note that this includes not just the Tavnas HaMigdash, but also Tavnas HaKelim. And therefore, there should be an Isur Pizur Dovah Shemavatla Migdash, not just on Shabbos, but also during the Chol. But on the other hand, Ilo Mevatli, if he doesn't intend to put the salt down on a permanent basis, then Kavei Chatzitza. And if it's not part of the Kevish itself, then it serves as a wedge separating the Ragli Akonim from the Kevish itself, and that should pasul their Avoda. Right now, the Gemara believes that the process of Haktaras Ha'imurim, which is initiated by the Kohanim going up the Kevesh, is an Avoda. And therefore, the psul of Chatzitza with regard to Ragli Akonim is in place. So if it's a case of Lo Mevatle, and he doesn't intend to abandon the salt on a permanent basis, then it should be a Chatzitza. And this is all a reflection of the Mishnah Zvachim that codifies the halach that the Kohanim had to go on bare feet. And why is the ramp, the Kevesh, any different? So Gemara answers, when the Kohanim go up the Kevesh in order to achieve the Haktaras Ha'emurim on the Mizbeach, the Maroch, the Mizbeach, then that's not considered an Avodah. It's not part of the Kaparas HaKarbon. It's only, shall we say, a technical, mechanical act in order to get up the Kevesh, but the walking up the Kevesh itself is not considered Haktaras Ha'ivarim. You could have said that the Halacha is part of the Haktaras Ha'ivarim, and therefore the Halacha of Ragli Kohen would apply and there would be a psul of Chatzitza. The Gemara says, V'lo, is that really true that Halacha Ha'ivarim Lekevesh is not considered Avoda, therefore there's no requirement of Ragli Kohen? V'aksiv in the Parsha of Ola at the beginning of the Torah, at the beginning of Sefer Yikra, it says, "Vakerav akra'ayim yirchatz b'mayim v'hikriv akoyin esakol v'hiktir amizbecha v'omar mar." And we have a shmua in the name of one of the chachamim that when it says v'hikriv akoyin zu halacha seivarim lekevish, which means that we require kohenim for the halacha of the eivarim and the kevish. If we require kohenim, it's logical to assume that it's an avoda. And once again, then, if he intends to remove the melach from the kevesh, then it's a chatzitza should pass the avodah le'emah. But rather, we should say that the heta being mefaz of the melach on the kevesh is not at the moment of halacha seivarim. That the halacha seivarim enochinami is part of the avodah. It's the haschol of haktara. But rather, behalachas etzim lamarochim delav avodahi. That when the kohenim would bring the firewood up the kevesh, that's not an avoda. That's only a mechanical act. That's just taking the wood and making sure that the wood is brought up to the maroch al gabi mizbeach. That's not an avodas kohenim, and therefore there would be no chatzitz at that time. So you see from the Gemara that salt was removed after the wood was already taken up to the Mizbeach, and we don't consider this as a Chatzitza. Now here, I just want to add a note. He says that Ein Domal Alocha Sadam LeMizbeach Kedei Lezorko Shehi Bo Letzor Kapara, and therefore Chatzitza Bein Ragli Akonim LeKevesh Poslosa, so that the Haktar Seivorim on the Mizbeach is a full-fledged Avoda, and the Gemara now maintains that the Holoch itself is part of that Avoda. And if it's considered an Avoda Gemura, then there certainly should be a Psul of Chatzitza. But the final conclusion is that we're talking about Holochas Eitzim Le Marocha. And every morning, every boker, they would be supplying the Eitzim on the Rosh HaMizbeach for the Marocha. And the Torah says, in Vayikra Perek Vav, Ubir Olel HaKohen Eitzim Baboker Baboker. And this was the mitzvah of bringing the Shnei Gizri Eitzim for the Tomit Shel Shachar on the Atzei Marocha. Far Maskon of the Gemara, then to summarize, is that the Heter Bezikas Melach Al Gabi HaKevesh is in a case where he's not being mevatelit to the Kevesh, and therefore he's not violating Hakol B'Ksav. And even though he's not being mevatelit, it would be a chatzitza between Raglei HaKohen and the Kevesh, but we're talking about a case of Halachas Adam, which is not an avod, and therefore we're not concerned with chatzitza. Now, why is it only mut in the Migdash and not in Medina, since he's not being mevatel the melech? It shouldn't be at all similar to Meleches Bona, and should be mut even outside the walls of the Migdash, as we saw in the case of the Braisa with regard to Tevin, that if the chatzishin is kalkul, you're allowed to spread out the straw because he's not being mevatel it, and that's outside the Migdash. And the answer apparently is that our Gemara is relying on the next part of the statement of Rava that we didn't get to, that even in the case of Tevin, where you spread it in the courtyard, you have to do it with a shinui. In the Migdash, you're allowed to do Bezikas Melech even without a shinui. Darash Rava, Chatzer, Shenis Kalkala, B'meme Gishamim. So again, we have this case where the courtyard was flooded by Rava. And by the way, when it says Darash Rava, what it really means is that he's quoting a Braisa, as we'll soon see, is maybe Tevin Umiradada Ba. He brings the straw and he spreads it out. However, under a popular Rava, Tanya Kshumiradada, Shumarada, when he takes this tevin and he spreads it out, Eid Marada lo Bisal. In other words, he's not spreading it out from some sort of a basket or a box. Lo Bakupa. And the reason for that is he might inadvertently be Mashva Gumos and violate Melechas Bona Ela Bishule Kupa. He should use it from the remains, from the base that remains from a broken box. This is the shinui. And this is going to remind him that by changing the normal way he does this procedure during the week, he will remember and be careful not to be mashve gumos. Hadar Mukim Rava Amorale. So Rava saw that he had misinterpreted the halacha, and he set up an Amora, who's like a baskol, you know, it's like a foghorn, you know, the Amora would go out there and blast it out. Vidarash Dvarim Shemati Lufnechem told, same the other word I told you before, that you're allowed to spread the straw on Shabbos without any shini. That's a mistake. Baram kach omru mishum Rabbi Eliezer kshu merada on Shabbos, when he's spreading the tevin, the straw, out in his chotzen merada lo besav lo bekupa lo beshule kupa. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Mimalin mibara gola begalgal. And now we're going to learn a sugya of an isa drabanan, which is called Hashmas called b'Shabbos. And the Isav Hashmas Kol B'Shabbos is quoted in the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beitzah, Lo Metapchin V'Lo Mesapkin. The Gemara explains that this was a Gzeirah Shem Yisakin Kli Shir. And for that same reason, here in Asugya, they prohibited Hashmas Kol. But it's only if you do a Maisa, for example, to sing or to whistle, that's Mutter. And in the case of Ula and Abaye in our sugya, there's going to be an Isur Hashmas Kol because of Molid Kol. He's simply creating a new noise. And if that be the case, we don't need the explanation of Gzeir Hashem Yisakin Klishir. And the Osamech says there's an afkamina here between the reasons here. If we're going to say that if he needs a shinui, for example, he's mashmiya kol yidei akos yodov zu bazuk lachar yad, that he claps his hand from the back. If we're talking about a chashash of shemi yisakin klishir, so through the shinui he'll remind himself and he won't come to be misakin klishir, it's mutter. But if the iser is kos molid kol, then even if he does it with his hands the other way around, that's also a molid kol. Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. So Ula visits the house of Rav Menashe on Shabbos. Also, hahu gavra taref above. So somebody's knocking on the door with his fist, and he's making noise. Omar, so Ula said, man hai, who's this person? Litchal gufe de kamocha le Shabbosa. His physical body should be desecrated because he's desecrating the Shabbos through Ashmas Kol, meaning that Ula holds that any Ashmas Kol is also, even if it has no musical element to it, it's called Molid Kol. Amalei Rabba. Rabba says to Ula, Osrael b'kol shir, kol shel shir. It's not any kol is considered also because of Molid Kol, but rather we're talking about a kol shel shir, which has a musical element to it, and therefore we're afraid Shemi Yisakin Klishir. But banging on the door is mutter. Esve Abai Yasakashan Rabba, we have a price that says Malin, we're allowed to take up these barrels of wine, bit Diofi. Diofi is a kind of a pipe which is used to suck out the liquids, in this case the yayin, from the barrel. Now the word diofi comes from dio, which means two, and p is a mouth, so it's a siphon, and it's a double tube, and is bent in a way that's formed by two, joining two reeds together at right angles, and if places one end of the tube into the barrel of wine, sucks a small amount of wine through the tube, and the wine from the barrel continues to flow by itself through the tube. And umatifin mi arak l'chola b'Shabbos. You're allowed to make water drip from an arak for a sick person on the Shabbos. An arak, he says here, is a kli ametif mayim al kli matechas hafuch lashmiya kol. So it means that you have this small metal vessel with a narrow opening on top, with perforations at its base. No water can escape through the holes in the base due to their small size, unless the top opening is opened to allow air to enter into the vessel. And the Bryce allows you to open the top on Shabbos to allow water to drip into the metal plate below, but only for the sake of a sick person, either to wake him up or to put him to sleep. So the Gemara's Medayik, this is Abai speaking here, L'chola in L'bari lo. It seems apparent from this Braisa that only for the sake of Chola they were Mekil. Hechidomi, now what's the case? Lav, shouldn't we assume the case is Dinim V'Kaboy D'Litzar, that the Chola is sleeping, and we want to slowly, gradually, gently wake him up by dripping this water so that he doesn't get scared. And for this purpose, we are not achieving any sort of musical sounds, and yet it's only mutter for the sake of a chol shmamino olid kol. So we see that producing any type of sound, even if it's not musical in nature, is forbidden. And this has nothing to do with Shemi Yitaken Kli Shir. It's a separate Isur unto itself of Molid Kol. So Gemara rejects this law. The Braisa is not referring to a sick person and prohibiting if he hadn't been a sick person, Ashmas Kol, but rather Desir Vika Boy Delenim. He is awake, and they want to give him a gentle sound that will encourage him to sleep, will make it easier for him to sleep. So it means that this kind of dripping sound is like a tinkling. It's like the sound of bells. And if that be the case, the Mishpami called them Dizamzume. If it's like the sound of bells, then it has a musical element to it. It's like cymbals, perhaps. And if it's a musical sound, then it's going to be also on Shabbos. Even a rabbi would have to concede that this is prohibited unless, for the sake of a chole, to facilitate his sleep. Eisvei now has another objection to Rabbah from a different brisa. So the brisa says, Hamashamer peirosa mipnei ofos. He's guarding his fruits from the birds, that the birds shouldn't eat up his fruits. And also, he wants to protect the love, his gourds, mipnei achaya, from the wild animals. Is Meshamer Kedarko B'Shabbos, Ubavach lo yisapik v'lo yitapek v'lo yirakeid Kedar Shem Osim B'chol. So we're only going to allow him to guard his fruits if he does not clap his hands, beat his chest, stamp his feet, the way he does it normally during the week. My timer. So Abai says, why is this prohibited by the Bryce in these cases where he claps his hands, etc., etc.? Kidera, I'm sorry, my timer. Lav the komolid kola. It must be because he's making a noise. This has no musical element to it. The kolude kola. So we therefore have to prove that any production of sounds is prohibited on Shabbos, even if it's non-musical. So the Gemara deflects this. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Gzeira Shemayitol Tzror. The reason here of prohibiting this kind of guarding of the fruits has nothing to do neither with Hashmas Kol nor with musical sounds and Shem Yisak and Klishir, but rather we're afraid of something else, that he might pick up a stone, and in order to frighten the birds, he's going to throw it Yisro Klush Saram Kedei Lavricham, in which case he's chayev for Meleches Hotzah. So this is not an issue of Shem Yisak and Klishir or anything relevant to that, Hashmas Kol, but rather it's a Gzera Otu Hotzah. The Rambam explains in Perikov Dal Bechashavis, Lachshashi Yizrok Evan Arba Amos Rishasaram, you might throw four Amos in Rishasaramim. And the Sfasemis is Medaik, the Gemara says Shema Yizrok Tzror, it doesn't say Shema Yitol Tzror. So therefore, he wants to say the Chashash is that he might, the language here is Shema Yizrok Tzror. And he says he may take a tzra that's mechubar lekarka, and he violates some sort of malach of tlisha. In any event, we are not involved here with meleches, or I shouldn't say meleches, but isur of Hashmas Kol at all. That's not the relevant malacha or isur. Now the Gemara has another kash on Rabbah. Ve'ela hod yom Rabbi Yehuda Marav noshim ha-mesachkos be'gozim. Apparently it was common for women to play a game in which they would shoot nuts, walnuts back and forth on top of some sort of a daf and try to hit one egos against the others, osur. And Rav prohibits this on Shabbos. My timer, why would he not allow the women to play with nuts on Shabbos? Lav, isn't it fair to assume the kamolid kola, that when the nuts hit each other, they make a sound, and by producing the sound, there's a violation of molid kola, and therefore we should conclude the kol olid kol osi, even when there's no musical element here, production of sound is forbidden. Lo, the Gemara deflects this proof from Rav's ruling. Dilma osi lashvuyi gumos. The problem that Rav is raising here, and the reason for the chash and the shvus d'rabbanan, has nothing to do with making noises, but rather because of melechas bone. What's going to happen is, since they need, in order to play this game in the right way, they have to have level ground, so the nuts will roll without falling into various holes and so on. They would flatten out the ground. And this is a problem of melechas bone. Dilo tema hachi, if you don't agree with me, then hodi omer av Yehuda noshim esachos b'tapuchim, also, if they shoot apples one against the other, that's the game that they play. Instead of nuts, they play with apples. It's still also. And hasa mayoludi kola ika. You can't tell me that there's molid kol over here, because when the apples hit each other, it doesn't make a big noise. So what's the olid kol over here in the case of playing with apples? Why should be also eladil masilashvi gumos? But it must mean that the Easter here has nothing to do with Hashmas kol, but has to do with the fact that he might flatten the ground because the game has to be played on level ground. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to ask a kasha from our Mishnah on Rabba, Mimali, Mibara, Golo, Mibara, Godel, Begalgal, Beshabbos. And the implication is that B'migdash in B'medina lo. So you have these different cisterns in the Migdash, and they were drawing water from the cisterns. And we said that this is only permissible in the Migdash, but not in Medina. My time allowed me shumo lude kol avi asur. So you see that when you use this windlass, as we called it, you make a noise, even though the noise has no element of musical sound, and yet nevertheless it's forbidden, and it's only mutter in the Migdash for the sake of the water that we need for the avoda. And Gemara deflects this and says, lo, gzeira shemi yamali l'ginos l'churvoso. The reason why drawing water from the Baragola is prohibited, except for Migdash, has nothing to do with Hashmas Kol, but rather it's a gzeira that has to do with Meleches Ria. What I mean to say is that we're talking about irrigating gardens or plants in his garden or in his churvan, his room. And since by means of a windlass it's possible to draw water without effort, a person might draw water even for the sake of his plants. Watering plants is a violation of Meleches Zorea. Is Yashkes Azroim and Etiyah Shemem B'Shabbos Yischai Mishum Meleches Zorea. Amemar Shora Lemirma B'Gilgola B'Machoza. Amemar allowed drawing water with a windlass in Machoza. And the question is, how could he allow this? This is outside of the Migdash. The Amar, and he explained the reason for his leniency, is my time of Gozer Rabbanan. The whole reason why the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to draw water from with this windlass is Shemi Yamale Ligi Nosil Churvaso. He might draw water and irrigate his garden or his plants in his ruin. But here in Mechuza, Logino Ika Velo Churva Ika. There's no reason for this Gzera. It's only applicable in a place where there are ginos and churvos. But here, we don't have any gardens, we don't have any ruins, and therefore the whole Issa doesn't apply it. Kevan de kachaza. When Amir began to realize that he saw de ka tarube kisna osrele, it's on top of kufdalet amid beis. What did he see? He saw that the people began to soaking flax during the week, I'm talking about. So they would be mamal the mayim with this galgal, with this windlass, and they would soak their linen their flax in the water during the week is Osala. He was afraid to allow this on Shabbos, so by drawing the water from the windlass, they might come to soak flax. And soaking flax would be a violation of Meleches Zoreah, or at least in the case of spelt wheat, barley, that would be Zoreah sowing. And apparently flax is also included in, if you soak it in the Melacha of Lisha, of kneading. So we come to the conclusion that Meimar will forbid windlass, not because of Hashmas Kol. He agrees with Rabbah that only musical sounds are awesome. Now the Mishnah says, Umi Be'er Hakar. On Yontif, we allowed drawing water from the Be'er Hakar. What is the Be'er Hakar? Omar Shmuel bar shehikru aleha dvarim vehitiruha. It was called Hakar because there was a whole debate going on back and forth. Each side of this debate would bring adduce evidence to support his position. Sheesham koch lakar shvus mipneat chak vitiruha. And they permitted the use because there were arguments over this well. And this is when the Olei Bavel came back to Eretz Yisrael. They needed water from the well. And they adduced various proofs to the effect that they had the power to annul the original Shvus, the rabbinic degree, because of the pressing need. They voted. And they decided that indeed it was permissible for them to draw water from the well with a windlass. Vinosar ba haheter lidoros, and this heter remained for generations. Meisvei the Gemara Sakasha on Shmuel, we have a brice that says lo kol aboros hakoros hitiru lishov begalgal biyontiv ela zu bilvat. They did not permit drawing water with this wind well from other be'eros, only from this one, the be'er akor, iyamache, hikru dvar malela. If you're going to say that there were arguments with regard to the bar, is my zubelvat. Why is it that only this one was known by the name Hakar? There were other wells that should have also been known by the same name. Eich karu lishar boros. Bar hakar, halo lo huku dvarim el al zubilvat. So in the Hebrew translation, he says the opposite, that there was only a debate with arguments here and there for on one particular bar. And yet the Braisa seems to assume, not like Shmuel, but rather that kol boros hakoros itiru, that there were many, many boros hakoros. Even though Lohuku Dvarim, all the arguments were only on this one bar. So since the Mishnah says that they were Matir, drawing water begalgal from a Be'er Hakar, then it's Poshut that the Mishnah has in mind that only the Be'er Hakar, excluding all other boros, was permitted, they were lenient about. So why does Raisa say that there are many boros, hakoros, and hitiru, they were allowing it. So therefore Shmuel, who says that the bar hakor is dafka, this one particular bar about which they debated, and they were oker the shvus for the need of the Olei Bavel, vis-a-vis this one particular bar, and they were matir only this bar, that opinion of Shmuel is now refuted by the language of the Braisa, which says, the Braisa is saying that they were only matir this bar, but there were other boros hakoros, where Shmuel says that there was only one bar hakor. Ella, Omar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Be'er HaKor is considered Be'er HaKor because Be'er Mayim Chaim, that it is the source for natural water, flowing water, that was fed by an underground source. Hakir means it flows from a source, like the word Makor. And it's natural water. Shenemar Bahakir Bayame Meme. And the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Navi regarding the Tochacha for Anshe Yerushalayim that it's like a Makar of Mei HaBe'er. Kein Hekera Ra'asa. No, it's just like a Mei Be'er, which flows on a constant basis, non-stop. So too the Ra'ah of Anshe Yerushalayim is flowing constantly. They're always adding and they're expanding it. So the Bryson wants to teach me that even though there are Be'eros Rabos, Hanovos Mayim Chaim, nevertheless, Lo Mikol HaMainos Hitiru Lishov Mayim Begalgal B'yontav El Arach Mimayin Echon Mesuyon, only from this one particular Maya. Gufa, the Brisa says, Lo kol haboros hakorosi tirol zubil vaduk she'ol v'nei agola chonu aleha u'nevim she'b'neim hitiru lehem. So it seems that when Chagai, Zecharia, and Malachi, when they, at that time, they needed the water, so they did not permit all the Hakir wells, only this one, but at the time the Olei Bavel, the Bnei Agola, they camped near this well, and the prophets among them permitted to use it on Yontif. And the Gemara adds, V'lo Nevi'im Shebeinayim, it was not really the prophets of Chagai, Zecharia, Malachi who issued this heter, this dispensation, Ela Minog Avosam B'Yedeim. It was the custom of their fathers that they were following. So in this dispensation, it was granted not by the prophets, but by the Chachmei Yisrael, the rabbinic authorities who were present at the time. Why did the Tana have to teach us that lo kol haboros hakoros hitiru? L'chor, that's pashut. They were only matir, that be'er, shachano leha, mipnei dochakon, because of the pressure of the situation. So why would we even entertain the idea that they were matir all be'er mayim chayim? So Tars Chaim answers that we would have thought that be'er that they camped around, it wasn't because of dochakon, and only because of dochakon they were matir, el mipnei, but because it was a be'er mayim chayim, which is Royal Ishtias Adam. And since it's Royal Ishtias Adam, we're not going to be Choshesh, to a great extent, that he might come to be Mamale from them, his Gino and his Churva, because they didn't usually irrigate these things, these gardens, for the Mayim Ligino Miber Mayim Chayim. They wouldn't waste that water. Therefore, the Tana had to tell me that Lo Kalaboros HaKorosi Tiru, we shouldn't think that the time of the Heter is because it's Mayim Chaim, but there were other elements that went into the decision, into the equation. Now, the Torah's Chaim adds one more point, that Gam Machmas Dochakon L'chud Lo Itiru, it wasn't just because the Dochak, the need of the hour, Shrei Yochel L'tapes V'leir L'tapes Lalos, Ela, but rather b'tziruf shahoyu mayim chayim. So that was one of the elements in the contributing to the heter, and therefore he says that when the Tana of our Mishnah is sose, and he's talking about a be'er akar, that memal b'yontif, he didn't say which be'er mayim chayim was the did he have in mind, and according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, be'er akar means be'er mayim chayim, and there are many of those. Only that particular bear where they set up their encampment, what did they give it the name Berakar? Just like we spoke about Bar Agola and Bar Agadol, that was their names. And those names were given because they were matir, because it was Be'er Mayim Chayim. So this leads us to the Mishnah about the sheretz that we found in the Migdash, and in Mitzvah Shem, we'll cover that in the next year and finish Masechta Erev and Be'ez Rosh.